In today's gospel, Jesus' growth in wisdom, age, and grace will lead him to perfectly fulfill the Father's will and earn our salvation. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Each year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to the festival custom. After they had completed its days, as they were returning, the boy Jesus remained behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Thinking that he was in the caravan, they journeyed for a day and looked for him among their relatives and acquaintances. But not finding him, they returned to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astounded at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been looking for you with great anxiety." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he had said to them. He went down with them and came to Jerusalem and was obedient to them. And his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus advanced in wisdom and age and favor before God and man. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Doug.
Marjorie Talcott was married and had one child during the time of the Great Depression. The family barely managed to scrape their way through this time. As Christmas approached, Marjorie and her husband were saddened that they wouldn't be able to buy any presents for the family. A week before Christmas, they explained to their 6-year-old son, Pete, that there would be no store-bought presents this Christmas. "But I'll tell you what we can do," Pete's father said. "We can make pictures of the presents that we would want to give each other if we could afford them." So Marjorie and her husband set out to work. Christmas Day arrived, and the family rose to find their skimpy little tree made beautiful by the pictures of the presents they had all around them. It was luxury beyond all imagination. In those pictures were a black limousine and a red speedboat for Dad, a diamond bracelet and a fur coat for Mom, and a camping tent and a swimming pool for Pete. Pete, however, made a crayon drawing of a man, a woman, and a child, all of them with their arms around each other. And under the picture was just one word, "us." Many years later, Marjorie wrote that it was the richest and most beautiful Christmas they had ever spent together. It took a Christmas without presents and a picture from her son to remind Marjorie and her family the greatest gift we could give each other is the gift of ourselves and of our love. This, too, is the great gift that Christ offers us not only at Christmas, but throughout the year, the gift of himself and his love. This is the gift that God gives to the world. Three people, arms around each other in an embrace of love with Christ at the center. This is the image of family. Today, we celebrate the Feast of the Holy Family, and it seems like we may have a little bit to learn. I always find the timing of this feast so strange that it comes the first Sunday after Christmas, when many of us have had a major overdose of family by now. After all the parties and the cooking and the visiting and the cleaning and the get-togethers, some of us have had as much family as we can take. Parents are wondering when the kids are going to go back to school. And parents, your children are wondering the same thing. As we are all starting to feel this way, then this feast comes, and the church directs our eyes to the nativity scene, to Joseph and Mary huddled around the infant Christ. We tend to forget that the Holy Family is real. They're not just figures of paper and plastic that we see during this time, but rather flesh and blood. And today's readings remind us that they weren't too different from us. Yes, they were holy, but they were also human. The readings for this feast challenge us to consider the role of our family in our daily lives and how we can make our families reflections of God's love in the world. In the gospel passage from Luke, we hear the familiar story of the boy Jesus found in the temple after 3 days of anxious searching by Mary and Joseph. It's a deeply human story, isn't it? Any parent who has momentarily lost sight of their child can imagine the fear and worry that Mary and Joseph must have felt, especially after looking for 3 days. Yet within this story lies profound truth about family life. When Mary and Joseph finally find Jesus, he says, "Did you not know I must be in my Father's house?" Here, Jesus reveals his primary mission is to fulfill the heavenly will of the Father. But notice what happens next. Jesus returns to them to Nazareth and is obedient to them. Even as the Son of God, he humbles himself, lives within the rhythms of family life, and honors his earthly parents. This dynamic between Jesus, Mary, and Joseph gives us a model for how our families, how our families can grow in holiness. First, we see that the Holy Family is centered on God. Their life together is not without challenges, whether it's fleeing Egypt to escape Herod or searching for Jesus in the temple. But their trust in God's plan sustains them. Do we center our own families on God? Do we take the time to pray together, to read scripture, to entrust the difficulties and the decisions to our Lord? Second, the Holy Family teaches us about love and obedience. Love in a family is not always easy. It requires patience and forgiveness and humility. Sometimes it means putting aside our preferences for the good of others. Obedience, too, is about recognizing our relationships are not just about our own individual desires, but about building one up in faith and in love. Jesus, though divine, was obedient to Mary and Joseph. In our own families, are we willing to listen to one another, to honor each other's dignity, and to serve one another with love? Finally, the Holy Family reminds us that holiness is not about perfection. Mary and Joseph were human. They had fears, uncertainties, and struggles. But what set them apart was their faithfulness. Holiness in our families is not about having everything figured out or never making a mistake. It's about striving together to follow God's will, supporting one another in faith, and never giving up on our call to love one another. Today's feast is also an opportunity to pray for all families, especially those who are struggling, families that are facing financial hardship, division, or pain of loss. Let us ask the Holy Family to intercede for them and for us so that they may find strength, healing, and peace. As we reflect on Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, let us remember that holiness begins in the ordinary moments of family life. It's the way we speak to one another, the way we forgive, the way we make sacrifices for one another. By following their examples, we too can make our homes a place where God's love dwells and is shared with the world. May the Holy Family bless us and inspire us to grow in faith, hope, and love. May God bless you.